And today we'll begin reading at verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10, we'll begin reading at verse 19. We'll go on down to verse 25. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Take our text from verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Title of my message is The Profession of Our Faith. The Profession of Our Faith. We find here in this passage a matter of duty. And the subject matter of our duty is that we hold fast the profession of our faith. I believe that in this, he is talking about the profession or the confession of our faith, meaning the solemn acknowledgement made by a person when they publicly announce that they've been saved. Or at least that's when it begins, you see. When that person first announces, that babe in Christ first announces that they've been saved. For instance, over there, if you look in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Or beginning in verse 8, he says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You see, so we have from the beginning when a person is saved, there is that acknowledgement, that confession that is made. And then it's carried on throughout, even into the preaching of God's word. The things that we believe, this profession of faith. When he speaks of faith, I believe he's talking about the things we believe in. We've been here and there talking and preaching about the things we believe in. After all, and in some ways, isn't that what the preaching of God's word is? Preaching of the doctrines, the things that we believe in. I don't preach anything new. And you shouldn't want me to preach anything new, you see. These are some old truths of God's word. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10, it's not limited though to the mouth or the things that we say or the things that we preach even. Whenever he's talking about this profession of faith, if you look at the context there, In verse 25, he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. So not only is it the words that we speak, the confession that we make, the profession of our faith, is also showing up to church is part of it, isn't it? I mean, today most of you showed up to church, gave your bodily presence to prayer and preaching of God's word as we gather to worship. And this is an indication that you're holding fast the profession of your faith. Now, the reason I say some of you is because there are some who may be here just because mom and dad told you to come. The test is going to be whether you continue or not after you have moved out of mom and dad's house. The reality is that you have said you believe something. You announced publicly that you believe something. You were baptized into this body, and now you're showing it that you believe it's true by your attendance. It's pretty easy to do in our country. You may get some ridicule and that sort of thing, but I believe the time may come when it may not be so easy. There may be persecutions coming. And what then? You know, I was thinking about this the other day. If a Pharisee were a member of a Baptist church, what would he look like? Well, he would come to church every day, or every time the doors were open, he would tithe, and he would be a perfect church member. Until persecution comes, until things get really hard. And then that's when the Pharisees get separated from the true. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes that happens. We've seen it happen. Maybe not with persecution, but when things get tough, people just quit. If it's not real. If it's not real. But you and I, who've been saved very long, we know that sometimes things do get tough in our lives. And yet we're still here. Why? Because it's real. It's real. And the testimony that we leave, the profession of our faith, is that we're still here. The scars, the things that we show, are testimony of not how great we are, but how great of a God we serve. You know, I think of, this sometimes happens, but it's a reality. Sometimes a spouse dies, and then all of a sudden, the spouse quits. They just give up. So I'm thankful for those widows that are here. Sometimes a spouse gets sick. And when that happens, husband says, well, I don't need to go to church. Wife says, oh, husband's sick, I don't need to go to church. I'm thankful when I see a husband or a wife come to church, even when the other is sick. You see? Teenager that can drive. Mom and dad aren't in town. It's church time. What will you do? I hope you'd be in church, because that's where you ought to be. The profession of our faith, you see. The profession of our faith. And even if you can't drive, call someone and say, hey, can you come pick me up? I've never seen it in this church, but I've been in churches. It seems like the gerbil catches a cold and the whole family has to stay home to take care of it. You know? What's that say about us? What's important? The profession of our faith. Words, but also actions. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at what Paul wrote to Timothy there. In verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Timothy was a preacher, and Paul wrote to Timothy, you've professed this before many witnesses, a good profession. All preachers are, sometimes it seems like preachers are in a glass house and everybody's watching, just on account of us being preachers. But do you realize that you've got many witnesses too? I've got many witnesses, but you've got many witnesses. Your many witnesses may be different than what my many witnesses are, but we've all got many witnesses that are watching this profession of faith. And I praise God for the good profession that you've got. And oh, when we consider this, profession, we must consider it, because he says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Not only in our word, not only in things like going to church. Which, by the way, you realize that the Bible exhorts us all to be in church. But biblically speaking, I hope I don't get into trouble for saying this, but I'm just being honest. Biblically speaking, I'm under no more obligation to be in church any more than anybody else. We all, as God's people, have a duty and obligation to be in church. Over in the book of Psalm 101 and verse 2. Psalm 101 and verse 2. You know, we miss sometimes for being sick, that sort of thing. I know sometimes we providentially hindered is what the term is that we use. Sometimes we're sick. Sometimes we got to take care of somebody else and that sort of thing. And I believe those are all right. But, you know, if I got up this morning, I said, man, you know, it's a beautiful day. I think I'd like to go fishing. That'd be a bad thing to do, wouldn't it? That'd be a bad thing to do. But now if I got up this morning, I had bronchitis, that'd be something acceptable to miss church, I think, because no one else wants to catch bronchitis, you know. And it'd be awful hard to preach without a voice, you see. So we got to consider these things. Psalms 101 and verse 2, he says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. When we talk about the profession of our faith, not only are we talking about the things we say, the things like going to church and things like that, but also, those who hold fast the profession of his faith will show that in his home. around his spouse, around his kids, around her neighbors, those who come into her house. You know, I'm talking about in the sphere of the home. Profession of your faith. Over in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, kind of sums it up like this. Second Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 13. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. This that he talks about here, your professed subjection. Or literally, as Dr. John Gill put it, for the obedience of your profession of the gospel. So we make a profession of our faith by our walk and our talk. By the things that we do. Sometimes this may be around saints. Other times this may be around the world. Even sometimes it may be simple by the things that we wear. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2. Verses 9 and 10. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness, sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. So I know this is talking about the women, but this can go for men too. That even the things we wear ought to profess our faith. Let the ornament of a Christian that seeks to adorn the gospel be good works, rather than the vanities of this world, you see. There's some things that we put on, it just screams, I'm not a Christian. I mean, may as well be like Peter over there trying to warm himself by the fire and say, hey, don't bother me, I'm not one of them. And so we've got to kind of be careful about that sort of thing. One of these days, we're going to be done with this life. And even in death, we make a profession of faith. Over in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. It says, through faith we... I'm sorry, verse 13. Hebrews 11, 13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Even in our death, as people of God, we can make a profession of faith. Notice by the time that these men and women got to verse 13, having died in faith, what did they do? They lived in faith, didn't they? They lived great lives in faith, holding that profession of faith, holding it fast. You see, they didn't go through life thinking, tomorrow I'll live for the Lord. Today, I'm going to serve myself. Tomorrow, I'll read my Bible. Tomorrow, I'll pray. Tomorrow, I'll go to church. Tomorrow, I'll witness. Tomorrow, because guess what tomorrow is? Tomorrow never comes. And when the Bible says that these all died in faith, it doesn't mean that they were living for themselves all the time. And then at the end of their life, they said a prayer and had somebody sing Amazing Grace to them. And the preacher spoke some good words, and that was it. We've all been to funerals like that. Funerals where you're scratching your head and thinking, is this guy that they're talking about? Is this the same guy that I worked with? This cursing, drinking fellow. Now the preacher's saying he was a church member and real good fellow and all that. What in the world? Paul put it this way in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. He said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Paul lived his life in a way that was pleasing to the Lord. And so when it came to that day when he was ready to die, he knew. He knew that in his death, that he was ready to be offered. He knew that he had kept the faith. And I believe that that's why. And I can't say for sure, but I believe Paul also wrote the book of Hebrews. But maybe I'm wrong on this. Excuse me. But I believe he said, "Let us hold fast this profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised." Let us hold fast. That's what we're to do with this. Let us hold fast. What's he mean by this? What he means is, let's not abandon it. You see, Paul knew some things. He knew some things. He knew, first of all, he knew his own struggles. When you hold on to something, it means there's a danger of it getting lost. Now, I'm not talking about salvation here, but I want you to understand something with me. Yesterday I needed a break, and the kids were all wanting to go to the beach, so we went out to St. Simon's Island. And there's a beach over there where the waves pretty strong. So I was out there where the waves were smacking me in the chest, and Josiah wanted to come out there. So I went back a little ways, and I didn't take him out to where I was, but I let him walk with me, but I was holding on to him tight. Why? Because there was a danger of him slipping away. Those waves can be dangerous, right? There's a danger, spiritually speaking, here. Paul knew his own flesh. He wrote of it often. Since we're right here in 2 Timothy, it's not in my notes, but look here at the latter part of chapter 4, right there in the middle, I should say. Verse 9, look what he says. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Don't abandon the truth of God's word, you see. Don't abandon the solid foundation upon which we stand. This isn't the only time that we're told to do this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. Look what he says here. He says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Hold fast that which is good. Hold it tight. Grab hold of it and don't let go. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hold fast the form of sound words. Grab hold of it tightly, as if your life depends on it. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast our profession. And then in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 25. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. Hold fast till I come. Jesus says, I'm coming. Hold fast. Hold fast. I believe that all of these are speaking of, if we take this in total, I believe he's talking about hold fast the scriptures, the things that we believe, as they are grounded in the truth. There are some things, of course, that we can compromise on. Some things that we do that aren't so clearly defined in the scriptures. What I'm talking about are, let's say, I'll give you a couple of examples. So, for example, the scripture does not demand that a church have deacons. Okay? So, follow me here. The scripture does not demand that every church have a deacon. And so, You can be a member of a church that has a deacon or doesn't have a deacon. That doesn't discount the validity of a church. But if a church does have a deacon, there are some things in the scripture about who those deacons should be that we've got to not compromise on. Whenever it comes to mission works, there are some things about mission works that aren't spelled out in the scriptures. If a missionary wants to send a report once a month or once every quarter, the Bible doesn't tell us which is right. Only that he report back to the church. Okay? I've got a preference, and you've got a preference, I'm sure. I don't believe that a church ought to send money to a missionary who never reports. And I believe that whether he does once a month or once every quarter, if the church has a question, he ought to be ready to answer those questions. But there's some things that we can compromise on with things like that, because the Bible doesn't spell it out. And surely, when it comes to when the missionary organizes a group into a church, there are things that have to be done in an order. And those things we can't compromise on. You see. Business meetings are another thing. I know of churches that have, most churches have them once a month. I know some churches that have them quarterly. And I even knew of one church that had it once a year. I think it's a dumb idea to do once a year. I don't agree with quarterly. But I can compromise on those things, you see. And so when we talk about to hold fast on the truths, when we talk about to hold fast the profession of our faith, we talk about grabbing hold and not letting go. I believe there's some things that are personal preference in life, but there's some things that we just can't compromise on. You know, when I'm out there in the water, when we're out there on the water, if I've got a seashell in my hand and I drop it, I'm not too worried about it. Oh, I might be a little heartbroken because maybe it was a really nice shell, but I can find another one of those. But if it's my kid, you better believe I'm holding on tight. And so it is with the scriptures. These are things we must hold fast to as people and as a church. We must not get lazy on this. When the scripture tells us to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, he means that we're to be in the scriptures daily. He means that we're to be in the business of holding fast, because there is a danger of falling. Over in the book of Jude in verse 3. Jude verse 3 said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." He said, "I'm exhorting you to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints." In other words, to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? Well, in verse 4, he says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." There are certain men crept in, he said, and I don't always understand it. You don't always understand it either, but it's the plan, it's been the plan all along. They're only here to cause trouble for a while. Before of old ordained to this condemnation. I don't want to get into that subject, but let me tell you, that's one that people don't want to hear about. But that's what the Bible said, that they were ordained of old to this condemnation. Here for a bit, and then on to hell they go. But they crept in unawares. Oh, and then he goes on to give plenty of examples. But listen, hold fast, hold fast. Truth is important. Truth is very important. When we look at this, and we consider the profession of faith, he says, hold fast to the profession of our faith. Why? Why is it? Well, the truth of faith is profitable to us. So observed the old Puritan preacher, Robert Trail. And I like this. He said, "The truth of faith is profitable to us, but the profession of faith is profitable to others." And I like that. Because check this out. How easy would it be if we got the truth and we were saved and then that was it? We just kind of stayed low, kept to ourselves, and didn't say a word to anybody. Kind of bring us to a close with this thought. No one would ever ridicule us. No one would ever bother you or me. There would never be any persecutions anywhere in the world. We'd never lose any friends. But we've been given a duty, haven't we? Not only have we been given a commission, but notice what the scripture says there in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I'm thankful for the men and women that came before that I was able to see and witness. I'm thankful for men like my grandfather, for Joe Wilson, for Reggie Moore. I'm thankful for them. And I know you are too. And you know, we go through life and we thank God for those old men. And then if you're like me, after a little bit, you start looking in the mirror and realizing, hey, wait a second.
What's this gray? Wait a minute. How old am I? You
start looking around at your peers and thinking, man, they look old, and then realize, oh, wait a minute. I'm not no longer the baby in the bunch. And then you get to middle age, and then you blink, and then pretty soon you got kids that are almost ready to graduate from high school. I mean, what I'm saying is we're filling in the shoes of the next generation. We've got duties and responsibilities. And you know, the other day when young Rebecca was here and she was sitting next to Sister Faye just asking all them questions, I thought, you know, probably wasn't but a few years ago, there was a young Faye asking questions of an older woman, right? But thank God that someone was willing to answer questions. The profession of our faith. Let us hold it fast. We only have a little bit of time in this world. But let us hold it fast. Because somewhere out there, there's a Demas. There's an Alexander the Coppersmith. Could have been a great help to Paul, but they didn't. May God help us. We may not ever be an Apostle Paul in that capacity in life, but we could certainly be a help. We can certainly be a great testimony. We can hold fast to the profession of our faith. Because guess what? That little boy that's sitting in the pew, standing in the kitchen, he might be a Timothy. You just never know. Hold fast to the profession of your faith. Hold it fast. Hold it tight. Don't let it go. Because some things aren't worth giving up. May God add a blessing to His word.